Hello, everyone, joining us. I hope you're having a great week. We'll go ahead and just kind of give everyone a little bit of time to join. We are, of course, live and currently in the great state of Texas. I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and Floyd is in Montgomery, Texas, on beautiful Lake Conroe. We appreciate you being here with us, especially so close to the holidays. I know everyone is rushing to get all their shopping done, and I still have a lot of shopping done to get done as well. So,
man, I haven't even hardly started. I'm doing well, Another wonderful day in my paradise here. Living the dream.
You have a nice view, at least.
Yeah. It's been kind of gloomy the past couple of days. It rained all day yesterday, even hailed a little bit. But, you know, such as winter here in Texas, it's brutal for a few days and then it's over.
Yeah. You can always tell when winter's coming.
Oh, yes.
All right. Let's go ahead and get started. Today we'll be discussing four ways your asset integrity platform can bridge IT and OT. I will go ahead and introduce myself. I am Angela Saldivar, Antea's asset integrity and risk-based inspection specialist. I've been in the industry for about over 10 years, I think about 12 years, working in asset integrity. I've worked in many different platforms in this industry over the years. I've been a part of several implementations, projects from start to finish, and part of managing assets within those platforms. Floyd, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Floyd Baker. I'm the Vice President of Antea Americas. Been in the asset integrity industry for my entire career, 40 years. It's been a long ride, but mostly connected to technology. In the early stages, it was more about the non-destructive testing technologies that we use to search and detect for damage mechanisms. Then later, more into the robotics, the vehicles that we use to put those devices on or those technologies onto. Always it's been somewhere involved with software because we have to have a platform to keep all that data. So now it is still software, and specifically software as that relates to other kinds of technologies as well that we're going to talk a little bit about today in terms of the IT-OT bridge.
Thanks, Floyd. So just like Floyd said, once again, we are discussing four ways your asset integrity platform can bridge IT and OT. Floyd has some really great slides to share, and he'll go ahead and get us started on this discussion. Go ahead, Floyd.
Okay, excellent. Let me get over here on this other monitor. So first question I guess we would ask is, what is IT-OT convergence? And I'll first make a clarification, IT being information technology. These are all the legacy systems that have been in place for many years and plants like ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning Platform, or EAM, Enterprise Asset Management Platform, or CMMS, Computer Maintenance Management System. All these different types of platforms have been around for years. We've all been exposed to them. Then the other side of that, on the other side of that bridge is the OT side of the bridge. That's the operational technology side. So this is all of the things that happen at the edge of the environment, meaning at the asset. So it could be remote sensors, could be data historian, could be a DCS or PLC or SCADA data for that matter, but all the data that comes from the asset. Mm-hmm. So what we're talking about here today are the four ways we can bridge all the information that's captured from these assets, whether it be from the OT side or from the IT side, and create a single version of the truth in the middle where one can access all that information associated to any of those given assets, all the history throughout their life cycle. Let me back up one. Nope. So first we ask the question, well, why do we go through this process? What's the purpose of it all? And I kind of mentioned a moment ago talking about a single version of the truth. Really, you need a space where the everything coming from the operational technology side, the OT side, and everything coming from or going to the IT side, informational technology side, all needs to speak the same language. It all needs to be the same thing. And also access to that information. The tough part is being able to access that information if it's somewhere out in the operational side of the business. Maybe it's in the maintenance department, maybe it's in operations in the control room, or data just scattered everywhere. And then being able to bridge all that information in one space, which makes it really easy to access, mitigates a whole lot of risk simply because you have that kind of simple access to information. You can learn so much and create so much action with this kind of access and transparency. So we're going to talk a whole lot about the four different types of integrations. Integrations are key here. We talked about the IT side. We talked about the OT side. It takes integrations to make all of that stuff come together. And those aren't the only two, or actually they kind of are. You could say that non-destructive testing tools are still the OT side. And you could also say humans that are capturing data with their mobile devices, maybe wearable compute, maybe a tablet. They're also on the OT side. They're capturing data at the asset and bringing it into the platform. So inspections, tests, maintenance activities, all of these things. So the four different key integrations are, of course, the IT side, all your legacy systems that have been around for years. Then the OT side, which is all the data coming straight from the asset itself, and the vehicles it uses, like NDT technology or humans, of course, and other remote sensors. So the IT integration focuses on your EAM, ERP, CMMS, and those could be anything like Maximo, IBM Maximo, could be SAP, could be Upkeep, in any of these different tools that are actually designed to manage financial information, resource planning, and that sort of thing. Those things also create the work orders that actually make work happen. So work gets executed. So the integration there is really key in terms of being able to communicate autonomously the scheduling around those work orders. So sending over notifications to your ERP and saying an inspection takes place on this day, or some kind of maintenance activity needs to take place on this day, so that a planner can actually convert it to a work order. And then it actually happens instead of it just being in schedule someplace and never really getting executed. Those integrations typically are bidirectional in nature, because what happens there is you want to not only know that the work is going to take place, but you also want to know when it's taking place, that it's done and done right. So that bidirectional communication back to your platform to say job complete, so that one can either one, verify it, go out and verify it, that it's done and it's done correctly, or two, just mark it as complete. And of course, schedule your next interval. All of these inspections or tests or maintenance activities take place on some given interval, whether it be time-based, preventative maintenance-based, or risk-based. All of them have a schedule that needs to be maintained. And this is how we do that. When we know the work has been completed, whether it's an inspection, a test, or some kind of a maintenance activity, we know when it's been completed so that we can reschedule it. The OT integrations, let's talk a little bit about those. These are really interesting because this data comes from so many different places. As I mentioned a while ago, it could be SCADA data, could be DCS, PLC, could be data historian, or even directly from remote sensors that are in the plant. Now, data historian is about the most efficient way, because a data historian is a buffet of sensor data that you can integrate to make one integration and connect to all kinds of sensor data. Then what do you do with that data? That data comes back to the platform. Again, it's in the middle. It's that bridge between the IT and OT, and you're able to visualize that data in the platform, even through a digital twin for that matter. But it's near real-time data, not exactly real-time, but near real-time data. So this provides really valuable insights when it comes to things like integrity operating windows, when you're considering API 584, and knowing what your assets are operating at, or being able to look at the trends over time and seeing if they breached an integrity operating window, and if they did, how long did they breach it? So again, really good insights. All of these things we do just purely because we're trying to create that bridge. We want to be able to stand in the middle and collect all the data from both sides and provide access to all that information from all the different resources. Another one of those resources, of course, is humans as a sensor, you could say. It's people out collecting data in some way, shape, or form, whether it be media with video or pictures, whether it be talk to text, or just reports, drop-down boxes, tick boxes, structured data capture while you're performing inspections, tests, or maintenance activities, so that that information is more structured and so that it's actually used. It's more useful for data analytics instead of just open text in a report that's only valuable to someone in the moment that they're reading it. So connecting the humans with all these different means for collecting this data, as I mentioned a moment ago, this data could be checklists, video, pictures, even the thickness readings for that matter, all of this information captured right at the asset. So the humans are playing the part of a sensor, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Now we get to the device itself, the devices themselves. We use a lot of different kinds of testing tools out there, non-destructive testing tools. And in the cases that those things are Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth enabled, being able to capture that data straight to the platform. So you do a couple of things. One, you mitigate the risk of human error in terms of typos and such. You also eliminate the need for that whole manual data entry part where it leaves the device, goes to paper, and then goes to a platform to where it's actually useful. You're able to do all of this autonomously. So here we connected the OT, the IT, we've connected the NDT, and of course the humans as a sensor as well. I'll let Angela talk a little bit about some of the analytics around that too. Very valuable information when it's captured in that structured fashion.
Yes, and I feel like we need a webinar just on this because I feel like I can talk a lot on analytics. So we have done some analytics with some of our clients, and that is the bread and butter of what a software needs to do. So definitely need to take out, we're in a data-driven world. So all the data that's going into these platforms, we need to be able to utilize that data to make informed decisions. So whether that be our budget or some maintenance projects that need to take place, just to give an example, if we notice there's a lot of CUI within the facility and over the year, we're looking at not just the inspections, but any type of event or operation that is happening within the facility on an asset, we should be able to pull that data and see exactly what's happening. If there was a loss of containment, what caused that? And, being able to track every single item within the facility and utilizing those analytics to say, hey, you know what? We have a really big issue with CUI. We need to go ahead and budget for CUI next year and make sure that we put enough money in there for a CUI program. So this is kind of what enhanced analytics is all about, is using all this data and being able to make informed decisions is really, really key and really important. Like I said, we can talk about this for hours, but we'll go ahead.
We'll have to try our webinar on that because, you mentioned CUI, and that in and of itself is huge because there's really no predictive means, or there hasn't been a real predictive means for managing CUI. It's typically something they just go out and do and they inspect for it. They use all different kinds of technologies to look for it. But when you're looking for it, it's already happened, right? Mm-hmm. So you're reacting already. But nowadays, there is technology that we're going to talk more about here over the next few weeks. There is a means to actually be more predictive in determining not only where CUI is, but where it could be in the future. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not there yet, but it could be in the future. And this is using sensors and such that brings data to the platform so that it can actually be more predictive in nature versus reactive.
That's correct. Yes.
So let's talk about what this means to the end users. So about half of my career, I spent on the end user side of the fence with companies like Lyondell, Philips, Chevron Philips, and some of the most valuable things I've found. And again, the software wasn't nearly as sophisticated as it is today, but even I found back then was the transparency, being able to access that information, having it readily available for everyone to see. Everybody's looking at the same thing. That access is really key. We found over a couple of case studies that time to find, TTF, is actually the most valuable feature in access to information, because we found in a case where, let's say the example was 1,000 assets in the plant, 50,000 barrels a day, a couple hundred employees, and total cost savings for that time to find feature was $1.8 million per year. Now that's a pretty significant hit right there. That's nice. That's nice to see back on your bottom line. So something certainly to think about. It helps you focus that maintenance, your maintenance dollars, where it creates the most value then. The second part of that is risk mitigation. The whole asset integrity management purpose is to mitigate risk in of catastrophes and humans getting hurt and environment being affected, right? So this is what its purpose is, to mitigate that risk. Also, sustainability, that is most key because there's a lot of technology that's came around over the years and it comes and goes. However, software, asset integrity, they've been married together for at least 33 years because we were the first platform ever created 33 years ago and evolved into Industry 4.0 world, an IIoT environment, industrial Internet of Things environment. A key is these integrations that create that bridge. And then also all of these connective technologies create a digital twin where you're able to actually visualize all kinds of very valuable information and take action on those decisions. So what do you think, Angela?
Looks good. Thank you, Floyd. It looks like that's all we got for today, but if you would like to learn more, you can go to www.antea.tech for more resources, visit our podcast with a focus on technology, and we will also have a webinar next month discussing the predictive corrosion monitoring for CUI, kind of what Floyd was discussing earlier. We are very excited about this webinar. We will also have an article coming out on this topic as well, and an ebook. So if you would personally like to receive more information, please send myself or Floyd a direct message and we'll make sure you are on the email list. Thanks everyone and see you on our next live stream.
Oh, also keep in mind our website. We just went live with our brand new website a couple weeks ago. It's www.antea.tech. So please check it out and provide some feedback. We're pretty proud of it.
Yes, looks good.
Thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you again soon.